This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Oh, Lord, we are sensitive to your presence here. We are sensitive to what you have come for. We are sensitive to your working. We are sensitive to your power that is here. We are sensitive and we align ourselves. As a people, we align ourselves. We align ourselves so that we can receive all that you have brought for us. We align ourselves, Lord Jesus. I align myself and I come under Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. I come under Jesus. I pray that you will give us the allocation of this meeting, the allocation of that which is in your heart, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will bless me. You will bless my lips, my thoughts, my meditation. My faculty, all that is within me, you will help me. You will help me. You will help me to bring forth that which you want to bring forth. And I ask for mercy. And I ask for help. I ask for help. I receive help. I receive mercy. I receive help in the name of Jesus. Help me bring blessing. Help me bring blessing. In the name of to be wise. Help me to be wise to discern this atmosphere. Help me, my Father. Help me. Thank you for the ministering spirit you sent to bless us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Will we discern the sweet spirit of God? Will it come to us in manifold ways today? We discern, we discern, we discern. In the name of Jesus, we turn this meeting over to you. We turn this meeting over to you. We turn this boot camp over to you. We say, do that which only you can do. Oh, give us the allocation. Give us the allocation of this meeting in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Amen. There's so much presence here. I don't know what the presence is for. I don't know, but there's so much presence. I just want you to be sensitive. You know, I sense that there'll be a lot of, some people will receive some gift of the Spirit. Some people will receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. I see some tongues break loose. You see, you've been in this meeting and you're wondering, what is it? Robo-bo-bo-bo. The robo-bo-bo is coming upon you. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be impacted. You know, I sense strong impartation and immersion of the Spirit. Oh Lord, we declare liberty. We declare liberty over the heavens of this meeting. We declare liberty. We declare the liberty, liberty. Find place, Lord. Find place. Find place. Find place. There will be healings. Oh, healings. There will be healings. I see healing streams. Oh, not just for you, for persons that you represent. Healing streams. Healing streams. Healings. Oh, I see some people get up from beds. You know, I see some people get up from bed. I don't know whether you're online or you're not such a person. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. God, just like the pool. You know, I see this picture. You know, just like he went to the pool of Bethesda. To that specific man, I see somebody get up. I don't know whether that bed is spiritual or physical, but I see it taking up. And I hear the Lord say, get up and take your bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I sense while just waiting about this meeting, there was a note that the Lord placed inside of me. You know, there was just a note that dropped. And in my mind, I've been thinking, how does this note join to this meeting? But I think it's beginning to make sense. You know, it's beginning to make sense. And I think one thing that is very, very, very clear. One thing that is very, very clear is that the Lord is restoring the prophetic, you know, back to the church. The prophetic life back to the church. Now, the team is more than a prophet. But, you know, when God's servant this morning, you know, started heralding and showcasing, you know, what it is to be a prophet. I believe we have been taught in the last few months in our community to understand that there are times in God, you know, there's a time of the servant, there's a time of the first prophet, the time of the second prophet as a location in everlasting dispensation. One thing this morning was a labor, you know, to actually give us sight even to what the prophetic is, because it's clear that we know that there's the office of the prophet, you know, in the fivefold, but there's something called beyond the office of that prophet. There's a prophetic voice and there's a prophetic nature. You know, the prophet, you should know that he's talking about it as an inheritance and an allocation of life. He's talking about it as a reward of life that a man journeys into. It was very clear that, you know, you journey from being a servant, you know, you journey, you know, come to this first allocation and the second allocation. And one thing that was clear that, you know, prophets are actually worshippers. You see, the prophetic ministry, one wicked thing Satan did was to bastardize it. Now, Kenneth Hagin taught the gift of the Spirit. You have not read the gift of the Spirit by Kenneth Hagin. I will implore you to go and read it. This is not the time when you should be confused about, you know, those ministry gifts. Amen. In it, and you know, it was very clear to see that in that office, there is a foretelling where you can predict, and there's also the foretelling where you can talk about the present and talk about a life. But that is not what this theme is about. It is not about that office. It's about the life. If you go to the internet today, a lot of people are prophets. They even put the name. They call themselves prophets. Can I tell you something? A fundamental truth about a prophet. There's no prophet that has called himself a prophet. Is either the Lord calls him that I've called you to be a prophet, or people tell them that you are, as in they don't, you know, they can say that they are a voice, but they've not accrued to them. You know, when John the Baptist, they asked him in John chapter 1, are you Elias? Are you the prophet? You know, John said, I am not. But Jesus was going to talk about John in Matthew 11. He said, he is the Elias. Jesus was going to talk about, he said, he is the Elias. So the prophetic ministry is a ministry that has been bastardized. When I say bastardized, is that because the name has only made it look at somebody who can see. That you can see, does not make you a prophet. Because you know why we must say it? You see, maybe when people actually sit down to learn, you know, accrue it to yourself. Go and read the dealings of prophets. Is it Ezekiel you want to talk about? Is it Ezekiel? Prophet, there's something about prophet. They always have the mark. I'm even talking about those that are in the office. Ezekiel's dealing. Ezekiel, they told him to sleep on his side, on his left side for 390 days. A prophet, that's more than 1 year. That means he's pooping there, he's doing everything. A prophet of God. And the other side, another 40 days on the right side. They told him to make his bread with dung. They told him to cover his eyes and dig through a wall. When his wife died, they told him not to cry. Or is it Isaiah that was told to walk naked and barefooted for 3 years? Or Hosea that was told to marry an harlot and have children with her? And guess what? Who names his child not loved? Who is pregnant here? And they tell you that the name of your child is not loved. Everybody looks for sweet names. I'm just trying to say that, you know, when he spoke to the fathers, they had dealings. Are you understand? So they had way. They met them. Is it Amos that was a shepherd? Or Jonah? Abraham was a prophet. I see the life of Abraham. Is it David? David was a prophet. Acts 2 was very clear. You know? Now, so when you see some prophet, they don't have any mark. No dealing. No way. They are just cool, calm, and collected with suit. And they are just dishing out word. When you see a prophet, you see the mark of a prophet. And that is even the office. That is still the office. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there's no way you can have voice if you have not been dealt with. You cannot speak nada if you have not been dealt with. Go and read them. They had their dealings. But Satan, hate prophets. You know, I was telling you that the Lord is going to restore the prophetic. When we say prophetic, it's not that people start speaking about, no, because what the Lord will restore is the voice and the nature. Matthew 23 says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men. Wise men are apostles and scribes. And some of them you shall what? Kill and destroy. And some of them you shall what? Couch in their synagogues and persecute them. Who is killing them? It's not really them. It's Satan. Satan hates prophets. Go and see how he kills them. He kills them with anger. Like, see the way he killed John. Just beheaded him. One damn cell danced. And they took off his head. You know, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have longed to gather you. Because you see, if you don't believe your prophet, you cannot have establishment. Why they must not be scarce in our land? It's because when it talks about establishment, obviously, establishment is definitely not about foretelling. It has to be much more. You can't have establishment. You say, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Then believe in your prayer, and you shall what? Prosper. You see why their voices must not be short. You see, when we see men that God has raised in the order of voice and nature, you know what? We surround them because Satan hates them. God's people, if they are not prophets, the path to way, to see way, to see way, because prophets are prophets of way. You see, let me tell you what prophets bring is that they bring God, and now they bring God because they can show us the way. They show us worship, and they show us how to seek. That is what is in that prophetic voice and nature. So, you know, it was very clear. You know, I know we've established that, you know, more than a prophet, but you know, there is the prophet. You know, I need to say this because Jesus is the prophet. You know, we saw that very clearly is in Deuteronomy 18, because you know, prophets are raised from brethren. You see, a real prophet is not an happenstance, it's from brethren. You say, why is someone you go to house and say, this house, what are they doing? Now, prophet, he running, run. Prophets are raised from among the brethren. Read it. He said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee from the members of thy brethren. It's from brethren. That's why, you know, all those in prayer houses that has one prophet, it is not accurate in terms of structure. Brethren are disciples who become prophets. They are disciples who come into that allocation. You see, this the prophet. A lot of people have been raised and thought they were the prophet that were prophesied. I can mention some moves that thought they were the prophet. That spirit, you know, they felt they were the fulfillment. But I mean, it's been clear. We've been taught that the prophet was Jesus. Jesus is God's prophet. He's the God kind of prophet. Because Acts chapter 3 was very clear. He said, but those things which God had what? Showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer. He had so fulfilled. I must say that's why prophetic, they have a company. You see that when we first talk about company, it was in the prophet we saw it. The company of prophets. It's not safe for a prophet to walk alone. Say, for those things which God had showed by the mouth of whom the head must receive until the times of what? All things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, if you read that Moses said, you will trace it, you will see it in, you know, Deuteronomy. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now read this. Every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow have spoken likewise foretold of this day. So we can see an alignment. You know why Bible is complete? If you bring another book, is a waste. The book we have is complete because all of them align. All of them align. I know why am I saying the Lord? He said, Bible says, Hebrews 1, he said, God who has sundry times and diverse manners as what? Spake unto us by the fathers. By what? By what? When God is going to speak, who does he speak by? So I in this last day have spoken to us by who? If God speaks by his prophet, then this is son. He's the prophet. He's a prophet of the God class. Hallelujah. By whom he made the worlds. Because when you talk about speaking, you see, God must raise prophet to raise a prophetic company, to live a prophetic life, to end up in the prophecy. Because there is a prophecy that awaits all of us. You see, God wants to raise us company of prophets. Not prophet of people that will just be dishing out. Company of men and women that will stand. You know, come here, women that will stand. Now let's go to John the Baptist. We've read that scripture. I believe that when you come for meetings and there's a central theme, don't be foolish that you have not even gone to read that Bible yourself, even if you don't have revelation. You know, when we talk about John the Baptist, because Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, he said more than a prophet can be offended. The prophetic life is a life of offense. John the Baptist's offense was in his heart. And you know, can I shock you? Even with the offense in his heart, he just looks like, for a more than a prophet, does he allow his head to be beheaded? So John the Baptist, we see this man and he just say, are you the one? And see what Jesus, the answer Jesus gave. More than a prophet understand that answer. I believe John the Baptist understand that reply. He said, go tell him. The blind receive their sight. The lame what? The lepers are what? Cleansed. And the deaf what? The dead are what? The poor have the what? Gospel preached to them. Mm-hmm. So this information was the curriculum that was in what the Son has come to do. I hope you know that it's not physical, only blind eyes. I hope you know it is not only lepers. I hope you know it was more the gospel preached to them, you know, to the poor. This is John. He was a child that was born when his parents had no strength. The Bible says they were stricken in age. And he came. You know, God's servant was saying this morning that how many of us can go through the raising of John the Baptist? Do you understand how he was raised? I'm sure John's parents must have fled with him when Jesus' parents fled too. You know, Herod wanted to kill everybody. John would have been involved. So they too, they fled. And you know what I thought one day? That Elizabeth and Zechariah might have even gone when John was old. So John must have been fending for himself in the wilderness for a very tender age. And he grew up there. And I wondered, they said he grew up in the wilderness, and I wondered, it was a voice in the wilderness. How were they hearing John from the city? Because if you read that John, they say, all in the city. What kind of voice did John have? There was no microphone, no amplifier. How can somebody be in the wilderness? And they said they were coming to him. What kind of a raising raised him? He was raised. And you know one thing about him? He knew the assignment. He knew it was just a voice. He knew that there was one coming before him. He knew he was an elder. He knew he was a messenger. He knew, and it was very clear. He didn't have it messed up. Because the ministry of John was a ministry of turning the fathers to the children. It was a ministry of turning. It was a ministry of preparing the way. Jesus' message to the Israelites was repent. It was to prepare their heart for to receive. It was to prepare their heart because they had the covenant. It was to prepare their heart. And you might just think that, you know, John's disciple, in fact, Andrew was a disciple of John. Some people even say John the Beloved was that unnamed disciple. That was, yes, some people believe that John the Beloved was a former disciple of. I'm just trying to say that the ministry of John the Baptist is not a little ministry. If you think it's a little ministry, it was the baptism of John that raised Apollos. Go and read about Apollos. Apollos. So you know that he had disciples. You see, the prophetic life and nature of John the Baptist, see what he produced. He produced Apollos. He said, and a certain Jew named what? Born of Alexandria, an eloquent mind, mighty in scripture. If he's mighty in scripture, that means John knew scripture. Then came to Ephesus. This man was instructed where? And what? Being fervent, what? The spirit. He spake and taught diligently what? Things of the Lord. Knowing only what? Excuse me, some of you have known the baptism of Christ. You have not done this. You know when they say baptism, it's teaching. It was baptizing to John and he produced this man. He produced this man. And when mercy came to him, he met Priscilla and Aquila. And they pulled him aside. And expounded what? So our sisters, Priscilla was part of those that expounded scripture to Apollos. So you can't say, I don't know doctrine. You don't understand. They pulled him aside. So I want somebody comes and the person is yearning some doctrine to you. Correct. Just say, sis, please, bros, I just share some. Let's have some Bible study together. Can our sisters do that? You cannot do that when you don't know what you believe.
You cannot do that when you are still missing, you know, you are just still doing Adalu. You are not clear where charity is sitting, where faith is. Maybe your own charity is the beginning of the work of being enlightened. And then you put faith as, you know, but these people were able to what? They took him unto them. I want to believe that one of the things they did to him was to bring him close. I see hospitality there. I believe that he must have lived with them. He must have stayed with them. You see, why hospitality is a bedrock for where we are going to. He said, and expounded unto them the way of God. More what? Perfectly. So that means he knew the way of God, but it was not what? Perfect. Now, let's now go to that Matthew 11. So, Jesus was talking about who is more than a prophet. It was who was he referring to? Who? Now, why we need to look at this is to know what is in that more than a prophet. Because what they want to give us is more than a prophet. But there is something that is in this dispensation that John held. Even though John did not finish that circle, but there was something. They said, among those born of what? Woman. So it means Adam and Eve were exempted from here. They were not born of women. So they, what did Adam and Eve have? They had access to the tree of life. So John the Baptist, when he was teaching Jesus, he was teaching is as, you know, he saw the way. He said, behold the lamb. Who take away to what? The sin of the, you know, behold, you know, the things he mentioned of what was in the Lord was because he had sight. You see why we need prophets? You see why Satan hates them? He said, very high, among them that are what? After he said he was born more than a prophet, he turned more than a prophet and tied it to born. Say born. You don't understand? He was explaining more than a prophet. He tied it to what? Born. He tied it to what? And you see, when it comes to you being born, it's important that we know that there are different birthings. John chapter 1, 12, he said, for as many that received and believed on his name, he gave the power. Then he now said, those who were born not of what? Blood, not of what? The will of flesh, not of what? But born of what? So there are different birthings. So when Jesus was saying among those born of women, Jesus was talking about a dispensation that John Costo, which was more than a prophet. Now, if a more than a prophet, and you know what he said? He said he's the least. Jesus, oh my God, when I saw this, I said it's only Jesus that can tie somebody more than a prophet to the kingdom. It's only Jesus that can tie the prophetic to the kingdom. He said the least where? So when you are looking at the least in terms of people that have access to the kingdom, hallelujah, John the Baptist was one, but he was the least. That is, he did not only see, he actually entered in the kingdom. He said he was the least in the kingdom. Now, more than a prophet is kingdom matter. When they say this one is more than a prophet, they're talking about a domain. They're talking about entrance to a domain. They're talking about a life of a domain. He said he's the least in the kingdom. You know, and that's why it takes prophets to enter the kingdom. If more than a prophet is in the kingdom, then you need to actually tow that path to have entrance. And you know, it's important that when it comes to the kingdom, Jesus was very clear in John chapter 3. When it comes to the kingdom, what did he say? Except a man be what? Born again, he cannot what? I hope you know that the born again that we say is not the born again that happened to us. That is not new birth experience. When they are talking about citing the kingdom, because who was he speaking to? He was talking to a Jew who had the covenant. So definitely, and that's why Jesus was like, excuse me, are you a leader and you don't understand what it is to be born? Are you a leader and you don't understand what it is to be born? Jesus was saying that, is it that you don't understand that when you are talking born, I'm talking process. When I'm talking born, I am talking gestation. I'm talking seed. I'm talking a process of things being cocooned inside of you to where it is formed. Excuse me, ask any pregnant women, let them explain the birthing process to you. When it comes to birthing, it is not easy. I am telling you that you must subject yourself to a process. He said you must be born again for you to what? See. God's people, the first blessing we get when it comes to the kingdom of this more than a prophet is sight. John the Baptist saw it. If you are here and you have not sighted the kingdom, If what you are citing and you came for this boot camp is that 2026 mo fe marry, you don't understand. There's something you must cite. There's something that is much more than the external that you must cite. And you know, that is the beginning of being born. Then you now go to the next one. When you are born of what? Water and what? Spirit. So that you can gain what? Entrance. Say entrance.
Entrance.
You know? You see, when it comes to entrance, his little children, Jesus said it very clearly. He said, except you be what? You shall do not what? So, conversion. Conversion is turning. That's transfiguration. They say that your adulthood, you need to cut it and reduce. They say some of us, you see that thing that you are into. If your own is anger, bitterness. If your own is worry, they say they need to cut it. They say you must be converted. You don't want conversion. You know, some of us, we need to learn how to play with a little child. You don't know, you're too uncoolish and too daddyish and too mommyish. You can't crawl down and play with a child. You see that thing that will make you fold your rubber and say, yeah, yeah, kashere. You know, a lot of fathers are not able to do that. You say conversion. And you know, conversion starts with what? Turning. If you know conversion process, to convert things is not easy. Nobody is converted easily. They deal with you for you to be what? You see, when you say conversion, I think there's one person that can make us have an insight to what conversion is. Pharisee Saul to Apostle Saul to Disciple Saul to Apostle Saul. They say, you see, when they wanted to hit him with conversion, they say a light shining more than what? The noonday brought him to where? On the feet, beggar, and he heard voice. When he comes, you need light and voice. To change a man that used to worry to be converted to a place that you can trust God, things must happen to you. One way they can convert you, you like to worry, they will pack the worry on you. So when you cannot even, Jesus, I look to you. Conversion. When we go through pressure of life, conversion. When everything that makes sense to you is falling away, conversion. When your world is looking like it's breaking, conversion. When your stability is being taken off, conversion. When your hopes looks like they are dashed, conversion. When your desire looks like it's being postponed, conversion. Conversion until they will sit and they'll begin to burn everything. You don't understand. They are burning it and they are having a field day. They are not in a rush. They are even helping you. They are with you in the fire. But they are the one burning. So our Lord Jesus, what he custod, what made him was, now he said he's God-class prophet. What he custod, he was not the office. He was the estate of life. And he did not even stop there. He came to overcome it. Because somebody who is more than a prophet is an overcomer. He's an overcomer. So that conversion, God's people, I don't know why you came to transfigure me, oh God. But one thing you must look out for. Please don't go on transfigured. Don't go with your anger intact. Don't go with malice, unresolved things intact. Don't go with baggages who came intact. Don't go with burdens intact. Allow the word and the voice that is coming to you. Apply conversion. Let me tell you what you first need to do. Because you saw that he said believe. When talking about receive, he said believe. When you believe, then you know what you are believing. You are saying that I am aligning with the dealings that will bring conversion to me. You can't come to this meeting and say, I've been converted in this meeting. No, what they supply to you is grace. You don't understand. All of us here are very okay. We are normal. But the process of conversion, this may not be the venue. This is the venue for you to receive the things that will make you go through conversion. But you see, where they will display conversion is in your homes, is in your family, is in your brethren, is in your office. That's why you will know whether conversion has happened. Maybe you are somebody that your boss speak and something is doing chuku-chuku inside of you. Conversion process has not been completed. Or maybe at least you can acquire that at least before. You used to do chuku-chuku and come out of your mouth. Now it's just still staying there. Conversion there, maybe 10%. He said, conversion, as a, one thing about a child is without guile. Without guile. You know, one of the things that Jesus said that was amazing about this more than a prophet and this kingdom something. He said, from the days, say from the days. Kingdom of heaven suffers what? And violent men? As a what? Say violent men. You know, some of us, we have read that Luke 12, my little children, it's my desire to give you the kingdom. And suddenly you just feel that the kingdom just drops on your laps. My little children, it's my desire to give you the kingdom. So you stroll into the kingdom. You stroll into the kingdom. You stroll, you want to stroll into being a Christ man, a charity man. You stroll. You stroll into being a divine man. You want to stroll. How we got it, I don't understand. Because even our patriarchs, they never get them. When Jacob was going to change name, when conversion was going to happen to him, he wrestled. Excuse me, both Satan and angel, they don't want to give you the kingdom. Because I don't understand. They send that angel to give Jacob something. According to what? Prophecy. Abi, Jehovah prophesy. And they, me and Moses, Josa, give him now. He x-rayed him and was checking. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Because you know where this thing is coming from. And the Bible says, Jacob wrestled. You know, some of us, you like to be cool, calm, and collected. When they say do commandment of life, it's cool, calm, and collected. You don't know what you are struggling for his life. When they tell a man to love his wife, he's thinking that, well, it's something to do. You don't know you are fighting. When Jabez wanted his name changed, he said he cried. Me, I don't know who gave us. Let me tell you, there's something the Lord said to me. He said, I don't know who gave you the mindset. Because even when I showed you in my book about the man child, they say, dragon, wait. You don't know that man child staying in the womb now, war. Oh, you don't get it. For dragon to be waiting to devour him. That man child staying in the womb. Now war. You don't know that long suffering, a weapon. They called him a man in a womb. That is highly inconvenient. A man to take a place of a child. And he stayed there. No wonder they said the long suffering of God is salvation. Satan was waiting for them. That man child was keeping something. Satan was waiting, I will devour you. You don't understand that any time obedience is before you, there's one waiting to devour. There's one waiting to devour. Those people, there is war. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord. Psalm 144. Which what? Teacheth my hands to what? Teacheth my hands to what? Teacheth my hands to what? And my fingers to do what? Please read verse 2. My one to one. He said, my goodness and my fortress. My high tower, my deliverer, my shield. In whom I trust. Who subdued my people? Under your people, now your things. Your people are your nature. He said, we call you from amongst people. That people, now you. You don't know as you are now, you are a nation. Jehovah, they call him a man of war. You see, 2026. Dragon did not only deal with man child. Because, you know, the Lord was showing me. He was like, man child, even Michael and his angels, they war. Angel, they war. You don't understand. To bring blessing to you, do you know how many war? To give you understanding, do you know how many war? That you can understand the path to where God is taking. Do you know how they war? That you can understand faith, hope, and charity. Satan did not leave there. He went to over the woman and her seed. He still pursue. You know, God's people, let me tell you, the landscape of 2026 is clear. If it's not clear, we are in the season of the love of God. We're in the season of what? The love of the Father. We're in the season of the bosom of the Father. You know, the Lord has thrust us in towards the last quarter of this year. And the message is clear, the love of the Father. Fervent love. Do you think that to be fervent in love is not warfare? Hey, Joe, Shalaye for me. Do you think it's mushy mushy love? Me and you will just sit down and suddenly we are fervent in love from sincere love. Sharon, you don't know that to obey the commandment to do love between husband and wife now war. Husband and wife, my sisters and my brothers, try it now. I'm telling you. Are there no times when you and your spouse will be having misunderstanding? All of you are spiritual people, and you literally know that there's one issue. You didn't see any vision, no? You know that there's another human being. You don't see, we've canceled many couples. Sometimes when they are talking, you can literally see the spirits. You don't understand. You can literally mock way on lojukosibe. And the husband and wife, they are speaking English. Oh, you can do that. You can do that to me. But meanwhile, there's somebody is doing war. There's war at their doorstep. Motigbeja, their doorstep, you? Enemies are not supposed to have access to your house. They are supposed to stay at the gate. It's time for war. The Lord told me that come into the bosom of the Father. The love of the Father is a season where you will have great war. Oh, you will war against offense. You don't understand. Let me tell you, one war you will be get ready for in 2026 is offense. In fact, me that I'm talking to you, you may be offended at me. We will war against offense in the brotherhood. See, me, I choose to war. I choose not to stay in the place where my thoughts will take different thoughts, evil thoughts about my brethren. That is your warfare. When you don't allow thoughts to stay inside you, that is the warfare. When you want to do obedience, you don't know that obedience is a weapon. He said, when your own obedience is complete, I will judge every disobedience. I was saying that long suffering is a weapon. Ability to wait out a matter. Ability to endure your brethren. That is war. That means you are pressing into the kingdom. That is advancement.
I'm making this blast. I am blasting that sound. I am blasting even that sound, even the sound of war. Even the sound of war, I am blasting. I am blasting that sound. I am blasting. I am blowing the shofar of that sound. That you may guard up your loins. That you may guard up your loins. That you may guard up your loins. That you may raise your fence against offense. That you may raise up your fences. That you may raise up your fences. Even the fences of your loins. That you may man your own fence, that you may man your own door, that you may man your own gate, for that gate is yours to man, it is yours to attend to, it is yours to tend to, it is yours for to tend to, it is yours even for to attend to, for you to man your gate, that you may man your watch, that you may take your watch, you may stand upon even your own watch also, even your own watch also, you may watch over my work, you may watch over my work, that you lose not that which has been wrought, but rather you press into a full reward. You press into a full reward. You press into a full reward. Stand your ground. Man your gate. Man your gate. Man your gate. In the days coming, analu and pandus can scandal imandeshasha. I'm calling you for to take that stand. Even that stand upon your gate. Even that stand upon your watch. That things that destroy may not enter into your fences.
Amen. Amen. You know, if you go and look at every prophet, go and check them. There was nobody that was lethargic when it comes to warfare. Go and check them out. There was no prophet that was dull. There was no prophet that was not conscious of war. John the Baptist wrestled Herod. Herod knows that somebody touched him and marked him. Go and check it. Go and check all the prophets. Is he David that didn't war? Abraham, the patriarch? Even the Israel as a company. Even till now, Israelites, you know that thing, that warring thing, is actually one of their culture. An average Israelite, you must do army course. Every human being is mandatory. It is in Nigeria that you hear bam, you'll be running towards it. If you see an Israeli, if he hears gunshot and hears, but he knows what to do, he ducks. They are trained in warfare. In Israel, every man was a warrior. So I don't know what gave us that lethargic feeling that we don't have a call. Look at the prophet. There's none of them. Is he Elijah? Their warfare might not be physical battles, but that they could actually start. Even Deborah. Deborah shocked me. Remember, I think Deborah and her prophetess. When you say, "Can follow me to war," say, "How we go?" You don't understand. My sisters, when a warrior say, "Madam, Ejo, you will follow me. If you don't follow me, I will not go." You know, it shows that there was a way their mind was ready. Their mind was ready. So what has assailed us? You know, I was hearing, you know, the sound of marching of soldiers. You know why we're saying this? Because we are in the season where the Lord, we are very close. But it's a season of great warfare, great onslaught. Great onslaught of the adversary. Because when you are talking more than a prophet, when you are talking about kingdom, kingdom does not drop on anybody's lap. You know, forget it. Your kingdom does not drop by teaching. You don't press into the kingdom that they taught us. You don't press by revelation. You press it by the embodiment of what you have learned. Because you know, for you to embody it, you have word. Obedience is word. Just when somebody else said that maybe we should go and buy cloak and generous clothes so that you know that you are word. Not be like that. Sitting down is a warfare. Instruction, obeying it is a warfare. I'm saying, God's people, one note of warning, the Lord said, because this year, I was just saying that, this year there's been so much pressure. I was just do bass, 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 bass. You know, left, right, and center. I was just like, God, what is all this? I said, I allowed it. Because there's a frame of mind that you must have. And you see me so. I don't know about you, but I am not a generation that give up. Oh, God, you can bring it on. Oh, bring it on. I'm going to climb on it, and I'm going to win my warfare. Have you seen a warrior who has nothing to lose? Have you seen a warrior who has no fear? Your word this year is that you overcome your fears. Excuse me, you must come to a place where your fears is nothing. You see, dragon, when you see dragon face to face, have you watched a movie that they show dragon? His eyes is mean. Man's face must be set as a flint. If your job, your career is still a fear to you, excuse me, you are not ready. You are going to be a casualty. Because the men that will stay before the dragon are men that have nothing to lose. He has no strength to pull. He said, the prince of the world has come and has found nothing in me. There's no attachment. The only thing they live for is advancing this kingdom. The only thing they live for is that they embody a life. He says, we know what he means. In fact, what is your mistake? And anytime I've seen that, anytime pressure comes up, you call me, there's something that comes out of me. There's something that comes out. I get angry. I want to do obedience. So pressure is not supposed to put you down. It's a warfare. Some warfare we will fight. It's a warfare of this. I am down. Nothing is working. It's a warfare. That everything is working for you. That all things work together. My life is not making sense. When will this thing happen? It's a warfare you must win. Because they that will overcome are men that have known that the Lord is enough for you. It's men that can trust God enough to know that God cannot be talking to you about the world to come. And he will not take care of your current life. Sometimes our war is a war of trusting God. You shout it, but you don't trust God. I remember some years back, the Lord told me, you don't trust me. Say, you don't trust me. And remember, I cried. I cried because I know what brought that. I cried and I asked God. This song became my mantra. Why die, mystify? May me be just like child. And in the beauty of... I just said, Lord, I want to be a child again. I want to be a child again that can trust God for candy. I want to be a child again that can know that, you know, you can give me candy. You can give me chocolates. I want to be a child wide-eyed. When I behold your beauty, you know, I'm just lost. I can trust you without guile, without shadow of doubt or fear of that, oh, this has happened to me. I said, are you sure this will not happen again? I want to be a child again. You know, I cried. I said, God, help me. Help me, because I know if there's no trust, I can never have faith. I can never believe him for the invincible. I can't believe him for the saving of the soul. I can't believe him for the saving of the soul. I'm saying that 2026, the Lord has started putting it. He's a father. But you see, we will not come there by strolling into it. We will come there by the accrual of many obediences that we are going to do. If there's a call that this note was for us in church, it's a call of fervent charity. Fervent charity is not what you stumble into. They said your sincere charity is not enough, that you are going to step it up. You think it. The sincere self, we are not complete. You've not done it well. But I just feel that the Lord is heralding a call to wake up, that Christian, don't sleep. Wake up! Wake up, Christian, wake up! Wake up and see how the adversary is at the gate. Wake up! Wake up and see how the inheritance is at stake. Wake up! Wake up! Oh, some of us, we've not word enough. That's why understanding has not visited you. They brought the understanding. See what happened to Daniel. How many days? He said, the day you prayed, the response has been given. But there was one. Oh, if Daniel had stopped praying. Oh, have you thought what would have happened? If he had stopped praying, wouldn't that angel have gone back? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If he had stopped praying, what would have become of that understanding? I don't have understanding. I don't have understanding. What have you done? How have you tarried for this understanding? You see, one thing this meeting will give us is judgment and wisdom. Wisdom of warfare. Wisdom of warfare. Wisdom. You know, because when they were talking about, you know, the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are mighty what? To do what? It's not carnal things. You say they are mighty weapons. So, for instance, I said long suffering is a mighty weapon. Ability to forbear and endure is a weapon. They are not carnal. And you know, Ephesians, when Ephesians was talking about, you know, that we should take up the whole armor of God, the things he gave as weapons, I was just looking at them. I think earlier today, I said, oh, God, the things a man must be cooked with in this warfare. It shows that God must visit you and I. I just want to end on this note. And it came to pass, as they went the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whatsoever where. So all of us, we want to advance the kingdom, right? You want more than a prophet? Okay, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have what? Holes. And the birds of the air have nests. But what? Jesus was saying that I don't have a place to lay my head inside you. It's inside you. Foxes have holes. So in us, we have foxes. Things I should have allowed the Son of Man. But let's read on. That's not where I'm going. And that said what? And he said to another, eh? Said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I don't know who he has called in this meeting. I said, follow me. And you are saying, I want to go and do my legitimate duty. You now say, Jesus said unto him, what? Let the dead bury their what? Meaning that you are in life. Stop having conversation of dead. Stop giving excuses of death. He says, but go down and what? Preach the kingdom of God. Then another said, what? Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go beat them what? Which are at my home, at my what? This one is very interesting. At my home, at my house. That is, some of us, we still want to bid farewell to the things inside of us. At home, at my house. Inside, gangan. Hey, Joe, well, you see this advancing the kingdom. I still have things to sort out. I still have things to accomplish. Jesus is talking here. Then let's read on.
Jesus
said unto him, no man haven't put his hand on what? And looking back is what? May we not become unfit. You see, the season of the love of the Father is a season of a lot of disqualification. Disqualification. You know why it will be easy to be disqualified? Because the things of the kingdom are all around you. You have the opportunity, you have the teaching, you have everything. And it's not worth what? Then you find yourself what? See, saying that after laying your hands on the plan. You know when you lay your hands on the plan, meaning that you have chosen, you have accepted, you have started a journey, and you now say what? You look back. They didn't say even remove his hand though. They said look back. They said look back. You look back to what you have left. The same way Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Look back to your losses. Look back to the things God has delivered you from. Look back to the things that, you know, God has made it to make no sense. And you look back. He said, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, you are here, you are still up and down. May our status report not be that unfit. I just seen some medical report, they will write unfit. Unfit is not fit. May that not be our status report. May things that causes us to look back, things that will not make us, because if the man knew that it was a warfare for him to stay, you see this unfit? You can be coming to church and you are not fit for the king. They've drawn an invisible line around you. With time, it will fall off. I have seen it over and over again. I have seen people fall off. I've seen people fall off a journey. It will just look like an invisible line. Nobody sees that line, no. That line is not seen. But if there's a line that has been drawn, it cannot cross. He cannot cross, and he's even also because he cannot cross even for his sake and for our sake. And then it looks like, oh, the land is green, it's green. But suddenly one day, you will look for him, you won't find him. You know what happened? I want us to pray. I don't know how you can call yourself to war. But you see, there's a gun of war that I want it to resound inside of you. You know, there's a trumpet they used to blow whenever it's time for war. There's a trumpet, and once they blow that trumpet, everybody align. I don't know how you can wake yourself up. How you can make yourself know that this journey is a warfare. I want us to pray. Can we begin to talk to God? Respond to God. Respond and bring forth a cry. A cry from our within. A cry that we will choose to be persuaded. Choose to be persuaded. Choose to be persuaded. Can we cry to the Lord? Can we cry to the Lord? Can you cry to the Lord that you are chosen? Can you choose? Can you choose? Can you choose? Choose to advance the kingdom. Choose, choose. Choose to be part of this kingdom. Can you cry?
I've been blessed so much. I just want to drop something as this meeting will be climaxing. Where we are in alignment to the program of God is Revelation 10, 11, 12. That is where we are. When you see Revelation 10, Revelation 11, Revelation 12, what you find there are different kind of prophets. Revelation 10, Revelation 11, Revelation 12. And you see prophetic life at different strength. And the highest, that which is more than the prophet, is the man-child. Because more than prophet is the overcomer. So Revelation 10, Revelation 11, Revelation 12. What happened in Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9 are interlude. Really, if you want to organize the book of Revelation, after Revelation 6, Revelation 10, so what to follow? Because Revelation 6, they saw the souls of them that were at the altar. You saw the temple. They saw those who are the altar. The next time you see the what? These souls were on the brazen altar. So by the time you get to Revelation 11, it was a tabernacle. The book of Revelation is tabernacle. It's talking about journey. It's a journey. As that after they broke the sixth seal, you saw outer courts to everybody that they are allowed to enter from without inside the camp into the what? Into the courts. Revelation 7 is those who they are allowed to enter into the sanctuary. Then Revelation 11. But they didn't open Revelation 11 until they have given the ministry of prophets, which was Revelation chapter 10. That is when they started counting prophets. So Revelation 11 is a continuation of Revelation 7. Because they said they should leave the outer court and the court, because there are men that have been counting the court as Revelation 6. And then the Revelation 11 talk about the two prophets. So Revelation 11, so now our two prophets. But those prophets, they could not overcome the beasts. So what you saw their ministry, the beast prevailed over them. Which is also Daniel, the little horn. Because his Palmer was very accurate, because he's contesting for the kingdom, everlasting kingdom, entrance into the everlasting kingdom. But the emphasis where we are in our journey, we're in Revelation, majorly that place, even from Revelation 10, 11, 12. But those who have not done Revelation 6 and 7, they will have to do something on them quickly in that place. Everybody must do Revelation 6 and 7. Your soul must be brought to the altar. And you must find entrance into the temple of God. So if you have not find your son, if you have not registered your soul on the altar of the outer court, you must do it quickly. Because work of God is progressing. And people are lying. You must do. If you have found yourself, you're not yet at the altar, you must do. Heaven will be giving you grace to do it. To find, make sure your soul arrive at the altar. Then, from that place of the altar, you must find yourself access to the temple. Because from 11, the essence why they gave John the little book is to facilitate the further ministry to those who have entered the temple for the mysteries of God, mystery of God, by the seven trumpets. But when you read Revelation 8, 9, they are interlude. They just, as if they brought for the ministration of the trumpets. In case, and they purposely did it to help those that have not fully announced. It was like an interlude. They said there should be, when they opened it, they said there should be silence in heaven for half an hour. So they pause program and quickly injected something to help people. And when he had opened the seventh sea, there was silence in heaven about a space of half an hour. So it was a short walk. They did a short walk to move everybody quickly. So that Revelation 8 and 9 was a short walk. Like last half an hour, when you read the book of Daniel 9 and you read Revelation 11, they say, shall be for a time, times and half a time, or dividing of time. That means it's a short walk, which eventually you're also going to do in the day of little walk, a short walk. So there's a season of short walk in Christ also, that they're going to give allowance to those that have not really perfected the work of Christ to complete that charity work and do the love work. So I'm saying that God will make us to enter the kingdom. To enter the kingdom is to enter the temple of God. To enter the kingdom is to enter the temple of God. But you can't enter the temple of God if you have not entered the temple of Christ. Or you have not entered sanctuary. Sanctuary is a temple of Christ. So you must live out according to them. So in the program of God, there's going to be a half a time for people to use the opportunity to do something quickly. Because in this season, the least you must be a prophet. And go far and go beyond and beyond. More than a prophet. They told John Revelation 10, you are prophesied, but you shall still prophesy again. So, even when you are serving God with the word of God, you're a prophet. But you are the least of the prophets. Another way, if you want to apply everything we are doing, that is those who have finished the last work. To be more than a prophet, is that you have finished the last work. You're more than a prophet. I mean, you have finished the last work. You have done your first work, which is love work. Because first and last work are love. They end in love. You do your patience, your faith, as Book of Revelation, you clamor it in love. The love of God. Those who have done the love work. What is the love work? You see, it's the love work. Even when they want to say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and love not their life unto the dead. So to be more than a prophet means you have finished your last work. More than a prophet is those who have finished the last work. Because first work will make you to be a servant. The essence of the word of God is to make you to do your first work. You do in the first work is the living and abiding work. Then you move into the last work. Your work does not abide in the first work on because it's every good and perfect light. Good and perfect. Good light. Every light has good and end with perfect. Which means living and abide. Then you move into the last work. The last work is to be, to have testimony. To be a brethren. And there's a prophet also. There's a servant, the prophet, there's a brethren, the prophet. The servant, the prophet, brethren, the prophet. Servant is also a type of prophet. But that's why he's also a prophet. Then he was referred to Abraham, say, my servant Abraham, for he's a prophet. So one of the body of the heart of the Lord, that God wants us to finish the last work. The people that want to do the last work. The last work. You must do your first work and you must do your last work. Then you say you are becoming more than a prophet. First work will make you to be built up as a house of God. The last work, as is good and perfect. What is the good, perfect work? The law and the testimony is the last work. The law and the testimony. The law will lead to covenant, covenant to testimony. That's all what is in the last work. Just like in first work, there's what? Living and abiding word. Then when you have done the law unto testimony, say you have done your last work. But the enemy will not leave you, even when you have done your last work. You saw the remnant of the children. Those guys have done the last work. Because they have the commandment of God and the testimony of Jesus. Commandment of God is the word of God. The word of God is abiding in them. The commandment is abiding, which is 1 John chapter 2. Commandments. The beginning commandments and the new commandments. So this is the remnant of the bread. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So they have the commandment of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. So when a person is like this, you have not still finished, but you have done the work. You have done the first work. You have done the last work. You have done your last work. You know that Christ is also a work. You find those things in Revelation, all the seven churches. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. The last to be more than the first. Revelation 2:19. So this church was already in testimony. But doing this last work. So you see different churches are different. Some of them were in the first work. They didn't mention it about last work with them. So it's like, but the list of them were people, either they are perfecting, they are good and perfect. Heaven will show us great mercy. One thing is in the hand of the Father. One thing that heaven is very passionate. Heaven wants to have many servants of God. What did I say? Or they want to have servant or prophet of God so that they can enjoy prosperity of both testimony and the little books. They want to have a lot of servant and prophets so that we can have prosperity. Because if there's not enough servants, there will not be what? Prosperity of the testimony. And what? The provision of the little book. But God wants to have plenty of servants. And in this church, even we have harvest servants. Amen. Men that will do the works of God. Amen. We have been doing the work of the devil. And the reason the Son of God is being manifesting is to destroy those works. By doing another works in the name of Jesus. Prophets are workers. They do the works of God. Prophets are workers. They works. 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 They love the works of God. Men that can be workers. That's why maybe you start reading from 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 3. You say, he that walketh righteousness. They are works. 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 And you do works of overcoming. Works that Satan, that works designed to overcome, and you keep overcoming until you overcome all the works of the devil. But you must know that where the alignment of what God is doing now is Revelation 10, 11, 12. But a lot of people are not there yet. Some people, their soul has not even arrived at the altar, and some soul has not entered the temple. But the emphasis of the Spirit, if you can hear in the Spirit very well, is that Revelation 10, 11, 12. Because the intention of God wants to drive all of us to arrive at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. To bring us to Revelation 12. That's what the Lord wants to do. That's what the Lord is wanting. God wants to make every soul to become that little man child. And but God, that's why there's need for harvest. They keep harvesting men. They will harvest men. They will harvest men from the altar. Brazen altar. And bring them into the temple of God. And be ready for many tribulations. There will be many tribulations next year. And their tribulation is for you to enter. Because if they don't bring tribulation upon you, there's going to be that great tribulation. But God will start bringing tribulation to everyone that are chosen. So your tax that increases your country is your tribulation. For you to also to enter. It's your tribulation. It's your own tribulation. Because you need tribulation to push you into the kingdom. To fully enter the kingdom. So we cause you to enter the kingdom of righteousness. Then some will push you to enter the kingdom of peace. Then you start entering the kingdom of joy. So you know the living God is the way of the most holy. That's the living God. The way of the most holy is the living God. That way is the living God. Because the consecrated in Jesus. Hebrews 9. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. So Jesus can, that veil, say, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So the flesh of Jesus is the living God. So they say, the side here, as is living, the other side is living. Immediately you enter to the most holy, immediately you pass through the veil, you enter to the true tabernacle. Most holy place is the true tabernacle. But that veil is the living. Both this side and that side. It's a thick veil. Very, very thick. But they consecrate the way there. That's where the Son of God is. And when you read Book of Revelation 19, they told them they should measure the altar and they that worship there and the temple of God. Temple of God there is the tabernacle of God. So they started measuring from that altar, which is the golden altar, to the veil. And they measured from the veil into the temple. So that veil is the living God. It's Jesus. That thing that is keeping the temple, the true God, is Jesus. That's why no one can come unto the Father except. That's where you do the fellowship of his flesh. You fellowship with his flesh, which is his veil. From there, they made the measure that temple, verse 11, 1 and 2, verse 3, they show these two prophets. Their power and their two witnesses. The Lord will be giving us a lot of light. And I will give you power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. Their own prophecy is given from John's prophecy in Revelation chapter 10. So they are prophecy. And they shall prophesy. Revelation 10. You also see John was giving a little book. Their prophecy is not the prophecy of a little book. John has his own prophecy. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nation and tongue and king. So these two witnesses also prophesy. But their prophecy is lesser than John's prophecy in 10. Their own prophecy, they are still with that temple that they measure. So there's two kind of prophets before that prophecy of John. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.losuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.